Hello and good morning, everyone. It's great that you are with us this morning. As we begin, I want to not only welcome you, but to sing happy birthday. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear church. Happy birthday to you. A lot of people this morning may be singing that together in their homes, and you may watch a lot of other videos this morning that do a lot better than me in singing happy birthday to the church. But today is Pentecost Sunday, meaning it is the church's birthday. So Pentecost comes to us this morning, and always each year we read this scripture. Found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I'm going to share the screen with you all. You should be able to see it now. And Acts 2, Luke tells us, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the gospel according to John, chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. As we continue through John, this is what John says to us. "On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, 'All who are thirsty should come to me. All who believe in me should drink, as the scriptures said concerning me, rivers of living water will flow out from within him.' Jesus said this concerning the Spirit: those who believed in him would soon receive the Spirit, but they hadn't experienced the Spirit yet, since Jesus hadn't yet been glorified." So today, we are in Pentecost. It is Pentecost Sunday. We are now in the Pentecost season. Pentecost, from the Greek Pentecostus, meaning 50th. It was a Jewish festival celebrating the spring harvest and the revelation of the law that was given at Mount Sinai. In the New Testament Pentecost story, Luke tells us this morning, the Holy Spirit descended on 120 believers in Jerusalem on the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection, more than 50 days after Easter. The Spirit empowered them to testify to God's saving work, emboldened the Apostle Peter to preach to a confused, bewildered crowd of skeptics, and drew 3,000 converts from around the known world in only just one day. For many Christians, today, Pentecost, as I've mentioned, marks the birthday of the church. For many dedicated Methodists, though, Pentecost might bring to mind the birthday of the United Methodist Church and the sermon Reverend Albert C. Outler prepared in support of that union. In 1968, the United Brethren and Methodist Church were joined together into the United Methodist Church. Dr. Albert Outler, theologian at Perkins Theological School, best known for, as you know, and many pastors out there know, for formulating John Wesley's approach to theology and the way of thinking about God into what we call the Wesleyan quadrilateral. It's hard to pronounce sometimes, quadrilateral, stressing Christians should rely on scripture, tradition, reason, experience as we live out our life of faith. This was the preacher for the service there during the union of the United Methodist Church on April 23rd, 1968. And the litany for today's bulletin for an unfinished church is based on Outler's reflection at that moment in time in the church's history. And what he did was he compared it to the first church created by the Pentecost day. I was not born yet. Spirit and life was not yet breathed into my lungs. But some of you may remember that moment in time in the church's history in which Outler gave his inspiring sermon. When Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Senator Robert Kennedy were assassinated on April 4th and June 5th of that same year. When the Vietnam War and the protests against it both waged on that year, 1968, when the bold social movement of the sexual revolution first began rejecting gender norms. That same year, in 1968, when violence and rioting broke out at the Chicago Democratic National Convention due to much of the civil unrest that seemed to plague the nation overnight, but was in fact much more like a billowing storm from all the previous grievances that transpired that same year. When the law and order platform, or the war on crime, that promise that was given by Richard Nixon during his election, came to the forefront of politics due to much of that civil unrest that was happening that same year. As Reverend Alfred T. Day, the General Secretary of the General Commission on Archives and History of our United Methodist Church, he said of those times, those days, he says, times were turbulent, divided, fearful, discontented, and demoralizing as any time since. However, I would say with the world as it is now, seemingly in shambles now due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, and you know, with the unfortunate incidences in Minnesota, Kentucky, and Georgia, where protests and resentment over racial divides and divisions that has afflicted the nation for a millennia seem to have reopened an old and deep wound. So some of us may feel that we're pretty close to those emotions had in 1968. I think we are, yet again, at the precipice of separation and division. I think, yet again, we are at the height of our disdain for our neighbors. I think yet again we are at risk of falling into the abyss of fear and depression and doubt. And yet, still again, on Pentecost, the church's birthday, we hear the annual liturgical text from Acts chapter 2. Is this coincidence? Is this by accident that Outler recites the same text from chapter 2 of Acts on that momentous day in April 1968, calling the new church to a bold choice of unity in the face of chaos, and offers markers, pointers for us living into a truly united Methodist church. Is this coincidence? Is it simply by happenstance that his words echo through time and speak just as loudly for us today as it did then? When he asked the faithful to consider that if the church cannot be a hope-filled difference maker in and for the world, let alone itself, then who will? Outler proclaims in this sermon, unfinished business for an unfinished church. He says, Pentecost was a day when the real work of the first church began. When the Christ people accepted the agenda of their unfinished business in the world and began to get on with it. The day when Joel's prophecy was fulfilled, when the Holy Spirit would come and abide as God's governing presence in the midst of his people. It is rightly remembered as a day when the Christian church was launched on its career and history for the world. Likewise, he continues to edify us through time, saying, this is the day when the real work of the United Methodist Church begins. It is the day when doors are open that heretofore were closed, when new possibilities of reformation and renewal are literally at hand. Where once there were five different churches, now there is one. Differences that once kept us apart, language, race, folkways, piety, personality, and differing practices of democracy have been overcome. Separated Christian brothers and sisters, rooted in a shared spirit of personal and social holiness, are joined as family. What once was separate will make for a better, stronger, more complete, well-equipped church. However, this will only come to pass, he says, if the new church raises up frontiersmen for tomorrow, dynamically adaptive to the new world as our forefathers were in theirs. And quoting Albert from this sermon way back in 1968 for us today in 2020, I believe this is what Pentecost is all about. It's what happened that day in April 1968, the power to say something about God's unifying work in the world through the Holy Spirit. And for the rest of the world to take notice to what the Holy Spirit is doing to the strange joinings of seemingly oxymorons in the world and to understand the Spirit's power behind it. We have heard it year after year on the church's birthday today that the Holy Spirit descended onto the crowd like a violent wind, rushing wind, and they were filled with the promised gift of dunamis, dynamite, the Greek word for power from on high, the ability to speak and understand each other's native language, undoing what was done by the once united people of Genesis 11 who built the Tower of Babel. That is usually somewhat the gist of the word proclaimed today on Pentecost. However, in reading an old sermon by my old professor at Duke, Reverend Will Willimon, I discovered something new about the first Pentecost, what he calls the roll call of the nations. Tom Long, professor of preaching at Candler School of Theology at Emory, has pointed out to Reverend Willimon that this Pentecost crowd was not only a diverse ethnic gathering of Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, but it was a historically impossible gathering as well. These Medes were who were there that Pentecost would have had a tough time getting to Jerusalem from Mesopotamia. Not only because they had to travel a few hundred miles, but because they would have had to travel through time a few hundred years as well. the Medes had been extinct, you see, as a nation for at least two centuries. And those Elamites that were mentioned were lost in the past, lost and last mentioned back in Ezra chapter 2, verse 7. Reverend Willimon also notes that Professor Long suggests Acts chapter 2 is like saying, you should have been there. You should have been there at Pentecost. We had a huge number of visitors for the service. Some were all the way from Montana. Some were from Arizona, Michigan, not to mention a whole van load of Assyrians, a couple of Babylonians, and even a nice little Hittite couple who asked to be baptized were there. This strange, playful story is Luke's way of telling us and saying to us that when God's Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, it was poured out not just on a few, but for all of us. The Spirit was given not just to the people who happened to speak Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek and happened to be living in Jerusalem at the time in the first century. The Spirit was given to people of every century and every place. In other words, the Spirit was given to the Chinese, the Spanish, the Russian, the German, the French, the Hindi, the Bantu, the Afro-Asiatic, and to all the long-gone languages of Latin and Coptic and Sanskrit. We were all there at one time, there. We were all there. Reverend Tom Long calls this, on Pentecost Sunday, the gift of Pentecost. The gift received on that first Pentecost 2,000 years ago is the same gift we most desperately need. And also the world desperately needs today for it to carry us into tomorrow together. Reverend Long calls it the gift of something to say, a word to speak into the brokenness and tragedy of the world that is unlike any other word. He asks us, did you notice what happened to the church when the Spirit was given? It stood up and spoke. It moved from silence to language. And I would say, to add to what he's saying, it moved the disciples who were huddled together in the upper room in fear to being disciples propelled to put God's love in action. What once were a few people called to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit were now nations of people compelled by the Holy Spirit to say something and to understand it. It talked and the whole world heard the good news in its own languages. As the prophet Joel said, quote, by Peter in our Acts verse today, he says, in the later days, I will pour out my Spirit on all of humanity, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters will have a word to speak. That life is stronger than death, that hope is deeper than despair, that every tear will be dried, and that in the power of Christ's resurrection, death and pain will be no more. That word is our gift to speak through the brokenness and tragedy of the world. A word of good news for us, hopeful people. A word of good news and hope that is unlike any other word spoken. It seems today we are in a time of new birth, of rebirth, of regrowth. Even our South Carolina Conference's resource for guidance and safely returning to in-person worship and gatherings is a fitting title, entitled Reset, Restart, Renew. Perhaps our current time in history is just as turbulent, divided, fearful, discontented, and demoralizing as it was in 1968, and as it was in the first 100 years of the church. But the Missio Dei, the mission of God, and the Missio Spiritus, the mission of the Holy Spirit, are still today one and the same for all who proclaim the good news to willful listeners. From the first to proclaim the good news in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to his Apostle Peter, to Reverend Albert C. Outler, to Reverend Willimon, to Reverend Day, to Reverend Long, to you. though not through some Catholic apostolic succession, but through discipleship. We are an unfinished church with unfinished business. Therefore, as I end with today's Pentecost sermon, Tanya Lynn Bennett writes for our litany this morning, as you find in your bulletins. She quotes some of what Albert Outler says in his sermon to the then hopeful and united 1968 gathering. She says, "We gather, and for us, we gather at home. In this time and place, all of us from different times and places here to worship God. Like those disciples so many years ago, we are not sure we know the way. We are afraid to make mistakes. We are afraid to fail. But Christ calls us to carry on the blessing of discipleship, to move forward in love and faithfulness so that all might find a place in our holy place, our church. So long as even one of us is left outside the door because of our cold-heartedness, or even left outside the door of our hearts because of our hardness, we are an unfinished church. So long as anyone is lonely, hungry, sick, in prison, naked, or oppressed, we are an unfinished church. So long as any one of us is destitute of the great hope that is our future in Christ Jesus, raised up to set us free from death into holy and everlasting life, we are an unfinished church. Although we may be an unfinished church, we are still yet God's church, full of grace and love and hope. So every day is a new Pentecost for us, full of the promise and possibility that God offers and breathes life into new possibility. Today is a day of dreaming, a Pentecost day filled with refining fire and holy smoke and winds of change and voices full of passion for God and for each other. Today is a birthday. Today is a new Pentecost day. May we be birthed again into new beginning. Amen.